Now, I really enjoyed that Sunday school. And, you know, a lot of guys will say that. And you wonder, well, yeah, I'm the pastor. Is he just saying that? No, actually, that set the table for what I'm going to preach about today. Because if you listen to your pastor, and as I said this week, a church is an assembly. It's a body of believers. But it's made up of individuals. So when it's easy to get excited and say, man, we have the right doctrine. Yeah, we are a New Testament. We're a church. We're the church that Jesus started. We are a New Testament church. And that's right. We have the authority to take the gospel into the world. Well, that's true. But that as a unit, it's made up of individuals. So what he was saying to you, and I'm not trying to re-preach his message, but if you didn't get that, to me, in a nutshell, it's very simple. These guys, it's easy to say, yeah, amen, amen, amen. Someone's come to their church, they got to say it. You know what his goal is? I know, I've done this a few years. His goal is to see those people that get saved and discipled go out and make disciples, amen? And so if you expect that of him, what do you think God expects of you, amen? So what I'm going to talk about this morning is not the commission itself and to the church. We know all that. Again, I said Wednesday, and I didn't say that in a very humble way, in a very, honestly, a complimentary way. What are you going to teach a church that's done missions? I mean, I'm not going to bring anything new to the table, per se. But the Bible is ever new. Amen. I want to talk to you about the relationship between the church and the church planter. Amen. Because I've studied this through the years. I've had guys come to me. Mike McDowell asked me this, a very sincere question. He said, do you think even deputation, do you think like this support thing is even scriptural, Brother Mills? What's your opinion? I was like, well, you should ask someone else. Amen. But it made me think, really. It really made me think. And I appreciate that. I talked to Brother Mike the other day, and I told him a little while ago, I said, you know, I appreciate that because I don't want to do unscriptural things. Amen. But I believe in Philippians 4, you have an example of Paul talking about Philippi. The church of Philippi was not his sending church. It was not. It was Antioch. Amen. Acts chapter 13. But they're partnering with him. And he makes that clear. Amen. And I want to talk about this relationship because, like Pastor said, if you can give the missions, the money, and sit and do nothing here, and you miss the truth of what we learned in Sunday school. Amen? You're not doing the Great Commission. You can give, and you're maybe helping with this partnership with a church planter, but you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. You're not surely not helping your church do it, amen, as a part of it. But why are you giving this offering? This faith promise offering, and we go to 2 Corinthians 8, and it actually wasn't even a missions offering, to be honest with you, but it was a faith-based offering. It was above the tithes. I believe it was above, and I know it was. It was above the needs of those local churches. Amen. But what are you giving it for? We use that faith-based idea to support missions. Well, what are you giving that for? Why are you giving that? Well, yeah, some of your guys are sent out and they're from here, but they're still doing the same thing. They're going to the areas, the uttermost part of the earth, that you can't reach as a church. You're not talking about the all nations that are around you, but literally nations all through the world, people that need the gospel. And so what is that relationship about? And so let's read Philippians chapter 4 here, and let's look at verse number 10. And let's just go ahead and read verse number 10, and we'll read down to verse 19. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and let's get right into this message. Amen. It's a very simple message, and I'm not going to go very long this morning. Now, tonight, the good thing about evening messages, you preach, just preach. Because, again, I'm going to get in the truck and leave, and pastor's going to say, I'm never going to have that long-winded guy again. That's okay. It's done. Amen. But this morning, I'm going to be very respectful of time. And so, all joking aside, let's read this. He says in chapter number 4, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, you remember this verse? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know what the actual interpretation of that verse is? Why? What he's saying here in the context? He's saying to Philippi, I want you to know something. You've partnered with me. You've ministered with me. But I want you to know that I've learned a long time ago that I'm content whatever state I'm in. And I'm going to tell you something, and I don't think it's an arrogant or a cocky statement. I just want you to know, with or without you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If God calls you, He will pay the bill. He'll get you there. Amen. And here's what He says. But notwithstanding, verse 14, He said, ye have well done. This is a good thing you've done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, remember chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians? All the churches of Macedonia gave to that offering. Man, that was an offering. They gave out of deep poverty. They gave far above what the Apostle Paul thought they would give. But here's what he says about the churches of Macedonia. No church communicated with me as concerning what? Giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that will abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. I just want to take a few moments and give you three thoughts, three areas that I find in the scripture about the relationship between the church planner. In other words, the guy that's going to the parts you can't go to, the church planner, and the partnering church. I don't mind the word support. I get why we say it, but that support almost sounds, as I've been told this week, socialist. But I believe in partnership. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about the relationship between the church planner and the partnership they have with the church. Let's pray. Father, I need you today. I need you, Lord, to help me to preach in your timing. I need you to, Lord, take over this service. I need you, Lord, to speak through me, Lord. Because unfortunately, this flesh is connected to me still. And Lord, it's very easy to be afraid. It's very easy to get nervous. It's very easy to think, am I preaching, Lord, exactly the way you want? The devil plays all kinds of mind games with the child of God. And so, Lord, I need you today. I have no power to save the lost, none at all. But the Word of God does. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would be honored and glorified and uplifted. I pray that, Heavenly Father, that your Son, that people would see Jesus and not me. And, Lord, I pray we would understand this relationship maybe a little bit better by the time we're done in the next few moments. Be honored and glorified in all we do and say, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you about this relationship. Amen. I'm going to get right into it so I can move along. But I want you to notice I think it's a fair debate. I think it was a fair question that men have asked, and even independent Baptists, you know, is it deputation and how we do it? You can debate the goods, the pros and the cons and all that. There's a lot of cons to that. I promise you that. But I'm not going to preach on that this morning. But the idea, the fundamental idea of a church, Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, partnering not just with Jim Mayles, but with Cleveland Baptist Church, amen, as I'm sent under the authority of Cleveland Baptist Church to do the work of church planning, evangelism, discipleship, and autonomy, amen, seeing churches planted. And so that debate, I get it. I get the questions that come up. But I think here in Philippians chapter 4, and I know you could go other scriptures and you could see this is not a one and done theme here with Paul in the New Testament. But I do believe that in this chapter, in these few verses, I believe we see a pattern. I believe we get to discover the ins and outs of this relationship. And the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is I want you to notice the option of the relationship, the option of it. That, listen, you can't, and forget the finance. Paul said to the church at Philippi, you partnered with me, and I want you to know that my God will supply all your need. He's not going to leave you broke, amen. What you invested in me and partnered with me financially, God's going to take care of your need, amen. So that's the question is never, we don't have enough money. Pastor Roy Thompson, who was my pastor for a time when I got out of Bible college, I didn't grow up under that church. I was saved at Detroit Avenue Baptist Church. But I'll never forget his spirit. Amen. His spirit was this. If the Spirit of God tells us as a church to do something, we're going to do it and God will pay for it. And he was not flippant with money. He was not careless. He didn't leave the church in debt. They didn't go bankrupt. Amen. But the idea was if the Spirit of God says to do something, then we can rest assured that he'll take care of that. This is an optional. It's not that you financially can't support who God or partner with who God brings your way and he lays on your heart as a church. But what I'm talking about optional is you're not going to do everybody. Just because a guy comes in, he's right doctrinally, he's got good character, everything looks right. Is it the Spirit of God's will that you partner with that man? This is an optional relationship. I think as a church planner, I can say this, and maybe you've not done this for 30 some years, but I can say this. I think we as church planners, we use the term missionary, but evangelist church planners, we get the idea that it's almost like a contract written in blood. And if you take me on, brother, you got to stay with me till death. No, there's a give and take relationship there. And in that partnership, you're not partnering with me because you think I'm a nice guy. You're partnering with me in the will of God. And you should expect, as we'll see in a moment, a return. You should expect a return. But it's optional. It's optional based upon, first of all, your love for the work of God. Look what he says in verse number 10 here. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Amen. Ye lacked opportunity. But look at verse number 15 now. Look at me in verse 15. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This is an option based upon, and really, in other words, are you going to support, are you going to partner with New Testament church planters? It's based upon your love for the work of God. Obviously, these Macedonian churches saw the power of God. Amen. That Paul came to Macedonia, a region. It's not a country. It's a region. And he preached the gospel and they all saw that. But here's the thing. The only church that grabbed hold of that and said, hey, we want to see this partnership. We want to have a partnership that what you've done here and what we've seen in the power of God, we want to see that go to other countries, to other people, to other regions. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew 9? Hold your place there in Philippi. We'll be right back. Philippians. But notice with me in Matthew chapter 9. And I believe Paul, he saw the Lord. Obviously, he's an apostle. He was taught by the Lord personally. He experienced the resurrected Christ. Amen? But I want you to notice this, Matthew chapter 9. And I like what preacher was saying today about disciples. Amen? A disciple is not a disciple just because you follow certain teachings. It literally means you're following in lifestyle. You're following in action. Amen. Here's what the apostles saw. And I believe the apostle Paul saw this. And I believe they saw this. The Bible says in Matthew 9, this is what it says about Christ. It's not him teaching in a certain area. He's not in the Mount of Olives. But the Bible says this is like an account, a historic account of something that happens. And he says in verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. OK, so look at me now for a minute. So here's what Jesus did. Everywhere he went, he was actively involved in teaching and pointing people to the Father. Amen. But look what he says here. Look at this verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes. Now, here's what we do sometimes. We see the multitudes, amen, and it overwhelms us. We're out knocking on doors. Maybe where I like, you know, knocking doors is one thing, but I'll tell you, I like getting out with people. Amen. I like being out in the public. I like when the Spirit of God opens doors of conversation, whether you're sitting in a car or looking at a car and the lady brings up abortion and the Spirit of God says, hey, here's an opportunity. Amen. Let's talk. And you begin to talk. We see the multitudes that kind of overwhelms us. But here's what the Bible says about Jesus. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is what? Plenty is, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. So here's what I'm trying to say to you. This relationship that you're giving to today, this missions offering, this relationship between you, this partnership between you and a church planter, it's optional based on, first of all, what is your love for the work of God? Do you believe Matthew chapter 9? Do you believe that the apostle Stephen, amen, when Stephen went out and he preached and it cost him his life? Do you believe when you read the accounts of Philip, amen, and he's joining up to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch? When you read all these stories in the Bible that are not fables, they're true. Do you believe in the work of God? Do you want to be a part of that kind? Listen, light bulb investments could go either way. The investment in the work of God is eternal. And so understand, this is optional based upon, first of all, your love for the work of God and his work in your life. Not only that, but it's optional based on the church planter's walk with God. It's optional based on that. Just because a guy comes through and says, I'm a Baptist, I'm out of a good church, and the doctrine's right. What is his walk with God like? What do you see in him? Well, let me show you. He says here in verse number 11 and 12, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, look at me. This is not only talking. I have no doubt in my mind. Paul is not only talking just solely about his financial situation. Paul had suffered beatings at the hands of his own countrymen. Paul had been thrown in jail. Paul had been torn. Paul had a messenger of Satan that buffeted him, that he had prayed three times. I mean, he went through a lot. But you know what he's saying? No matter what state, no matter where I'm at, he said, I've learned to be content. Now, look at this. He says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, go back with me to Acts chapter 13, and let me show you something about the Apostle Paul. Go with me back to Acts chapter 13, and let me show you something about him. And so here Paul's telling the church at Philippi, I've learned, and I think the message there in 11 and 12, I think if you summed it up, I think the message is, it's if you can, you want to look at the finance side, you can. You can look at the need side. He was hungry. He's been hungry. He's been full. But I think the message there, I really think the underlying message is Paul was consistent in his walk with God. You get that? Paul was consistent. You know what you ought to look for in a church planter? Consistency. We say, preacher, what if they're a young family and they're going to Thailand or wherever? And preacher, how do you know they're coming from another church? How do we see consistency? Well, look at Acts chapter 13. You remember what happened when Barnabas was sent over to check out what was going on after the persecution of Stephen? And now he takes a young man with him, Paul, and the church in Antioch's established. And look what it says here now. This is where Paul and Barnabas head out on this to the uttermost part of the earth. But he says here in chapter 13, verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and who? That's the Apostle Paul. Look what he says. As they what? Ministered. To who? To the Lord. Look at me now. This is important. Notice, they didn't minister to the church. They didn't minister to themselves. They ministered to the Lord. And what are they doing in Antioch? They're ministering to the Lord. You know what your preacher just talked about this morning to this you as a body of believers? The Great Commission is the ultimate opportunity to minister to the Lord. I like what you said, brother. I've said that for many years. I don't know why some preachers don't seem to get this. Church is that when we meet here today, this is not the evangelistic bubble. Amen. This is not where inviting people to church is fine. Do it. Great. Amen. But that's not where that's not the evangelistic tool. This is not the evangelism ground. This is where you and I are edified and built up in the Word of God to go out those doors and be into the place where evangelism is needed. Because you know what? That sales girl that I talked to about the Lord the other day, if you're here, raise your hand, but I doubt she's here today. She lives in New Jersey. When I talk to people about the Lord in the hills of Southern Ohio, they're not all going to come, amen. They're not going to come because I invite them to church. I need to understand that when I'm here, I'm being built up in the Word of God, encouraged in the fellowship. Why? To go out there, amen. So what are they doing in the ministry here? They're ministering to the Lord. They're faithful in their local church, amen. And what is that? What transpires because of that? Look what he says. And when they had verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said what? We're talking about the Holy Ghost this week, Chris. He said, not the pastor. Pastor doesn't call people. The Holy Ghost said, separate me what? Barnabas and Saul for the what? Work wherein I have called them. I want you to look at me for a minute. You don't have to agree with this. It really won't matter. I'm leaving. But I challenge you to show me where God calls men to countries. He calls them to a work. Amen. The country is just part of the work because you have to work somewhere. When Ben Hall was called to go to Thailand, you know what Ben Hall is called to do? To go do a work. He may not be in Thailand the rest of his life. You don't know that. You don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And so understand what we're looking for here in this relationship. Before you even enter into it, it's optional. It's optional based on what is your desire? What is your love for the work of God? Missions, amen. But also it's optional based on what is the church planner? What is his walk with God? Does he have a record of being faithful? What has he done? I'm not talking about how many souls get saved. God's the one that saves people. But what's his track record? Does he have a history of being faithful to the Lord? And can I just say this before we move on? It's optional. This relationship is optional. And I love this part. Look at verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4. It's optional based on the God of the call. I want you to see this. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It's optional based on the God of the call. If this part wasn't here, the other two parts would mean nothing. Amen. If it you can have a great guy that thinks, you know, faithful and sold out. You can have people that want to do the work of God, but you can't do the work of God without God. Amen. He says in verse 13, I can do all things, all things. I want you to know, Philippi, and he goes on to say, hey, notwithstanding, you've done well, you communicated, you partnered with me in the area of giving and receiving. But before he even gets there, he said, I want you to know something. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. He is the God of the call. Let me show you what this God can do in the area of missions. Okay, go with me to 2 Corinthians 8. And let me just read a little bit of this with you. But notice with me, the word strengthen that Paul uses in Philippians 4:13, it literally means to empower. It's like when Jesus said, but after that, the Spirit of God, I always mess up Acts 1:8. After it, say it, Chris, Acts 1:8. Now I got him tongue twisted. All right, forget it. Anyway, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Remember what your preacher said this morning about the word power? All power is given to me is authority. The word power in Acts 1 that we're going to receive through the work of the Holy Spirit means enabling. God is not going to ask you to do anything for him. Your heavenly Father will never ask you to do a task on your merit. He will always do it in and through his power. Now look at this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8. Now, I'm not going to preach on this offering this morning, but I want you to think about this, the grace in this offering. And this is a grace offering. It is a faith-based offering, but it is an offering of grace. I don't have time to do this today, but read down and you'll see that Paul says, as much as you've abounded in faith and utterance and all, and he gives a list there and he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Grace is God's divine work in our lives. Amen. It's a work of God. Now look what he says here in verse number one. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That means pay attention. Let's take notice of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then? Now remember this. Paul says to the church at Philippi, when I first went through Macedonia and then I left, I started these churches. He said, no church communicated with, nobody partnered with me except for you. Now, those, I'm not saying those other Macedonian churches were cheapskates or tightwads, but obviously they had not maybe grown in the same grace at the point as we're going to see now. Now, Paul's saying to the church at Corinth, hey, I want you to pay attention to the grace of God. Look what God did in the lives of the Macedonian churches. How that in a great trial of what? Say it with me. Affliction. The abundance of their joy. So they're not depressed, they're not doing this out of duty, and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power, you know what their power, I believe, is? You doing what you can do, stepping out in obedience, and watch what God can do. And look what he says. To their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now I want you to get this verse, and we're going to move on. Praying us with much what? Entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship, that's partnership, of the ministering to the saints. So I want you to think about that for just a moment, then we're going to move on. So here we have, it's an optional relationship. The option is based upon what is your love for the work of God in the area, not just in edification here, not just in the local ministry, but in reaching the uttermost part of it. What is your love for the work of God? So that's up to you. Amen. Your pastor will give, I guarantee you today. I give to missions every month in the church that I'm sent out of. Amen. I give to missions. Why? Not because I'm afraid somebody will find out and I'll lose support. Because I believe in it. I believe in the work of God. Amen. And then it's optional based on the church planner. And it's not even that a church planner may not be a good guy, but what does the Holy Spirit want you to do, that relationship, that partnership with that work that they're doing? But then think about this. It's optional based on the God of the call. Here, God says, our Heavenly Father never asks us to compare ourselves with each other. Have you ever found that in the Bible? I've never seen where, hey, Lord, I'm better than this guy. I'm not as good as this guy. No, our measuring standard is Christ. So think about this. Amen. But here he says, and he doesn't even say, hey, I do you to wit. Pay attention of the amount of this offering. The offering is never even given. The amount is never given in 2 Corinthians 8. He doesn't say, hey, I do you to wit of these awesome Christians and how great they were. He never points focus on them. But what he says is, in the churches of Macedonia, I want you to pay attention to the grace, God's divine working, his influence in them. And he goes on and lists through deep poverty and to their power and beyond their power. But what amazes me is when you get down to this verse of entreaty, the word entreaty means to comfort. It's the idea of consolation. Apostle Paul says, we got there to get the offering. We showed up to get the offering. And it blew every church in Macedonia. We showed up and we couldn't believe the grace of God. And he said it was to the point where through much entreaty, we took the offering. You know what that tells me, Brother Chris? They were consoling the Apostle Paul to take the offering. You know why? Because I believe Paul showed up. And he said, oh, my word, it'd be like going to Haiti, brother. One of the things I hate the most in missions among Baptists is when we get this idea that a country is too poor to give and to tithe and support missions and have their own building wherever they, listen, 10% works any economy. And he shows up, and I believe with all my heart, he saw these people ravaged by poverty. And yet here they are, here, Paul, here, guys, here's the offering. And they look at, Paul looks at that, and I can't prove this, but why would you be with much entreaty trying to get someone to take an offering if they didn't say something like, man, you need this worse than them, amen? You need this worse than them. You see, this is an optional offer. This is an optional relationship based on the God that calls us to do it. And so let's move on. Let me give you the next thing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. So first of all, we need to understand this relationship is optional. But second of all, notice with me the blessing of this relationship. It's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. It's not going to hurt us, amen, as individuals, but it's not going to hurt us as a church, amen. He says in verse 14 through 16, he says, notwithstanding, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but notwithstanding, and you know what the word notwithstanding means? It means moreover, besides, albeit, nevertheless. In other words, nevertheless, in spite of the fact that I can do all things through Christ, he's going to take care of me. Notwithstanding, nevertheless, ye have done well. Ye have done, well done, I'm sorry, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again, many times. That's almost maybe monthly support, amen. But many times you sent once and again, amen, to my need. Now, I want you to notice the blessing of this relationship. Just two thoughts about that. First of all, it's right before God. It's a blessing to be right with God. It's a blessing to be doing that which God approves. I like your pastor's honesty today about soul winning material and that. And, you know, discipleship. I like what he said. These are good tools. He encouraged. I'm not familiar with what you were talking about. Love to see it. But I like what he said. The idea is, though, a tool is a tool. Amen. But this is the word of God. You see what I'm saying? And I love what you said, brother, because I've seen this. It's, again, the robotic thing. We're going to, hey, my plan is this. I'm going to take someone from here to here to here to here. But you know what? Sometimes the Holy Spirit has a little different plan than you and I have. And sometimes I think we sound like a bunch of Mormons, amen, knocking on doors. A Mormon will say, hey, you know, I'm, or especially Jehovah's Witness, we're from the worldwide Church of God, and we're here to blah, 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 blah. And boy, if you throw a curveball at a man, get them off their game, you know what they do? They look like robots or AI that's malfunctioning. Do you want to be a robot? Or do we want to be right with God? This is right with God. Look what he says here. The Apostle Paul says here in verse 18 this, but I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which he sent from you, that you sent from you, an odor. This is what Paul says. Do you think Paul's just making this up? He says that which you did in communicating, being a partner with us, and in need, giving and receiving. He said, that which you did, look, he says, it's an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice. I love that word. Acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Are we to present our bodies a living sacrifice? Is that not what you've been talking about this year? And that sacrifice is what? It is acceptable to God. Amen. Paul says this thing of church planning, amen, it's acceptable with God. In verse 14, he talks about this. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. That means simply well means good and in an honest way before God. You've done a good thing. But look what he says, that ye did communicate with my affliction. That word affliction is anguish, it's burden, it's trouble. Do you think the church planner, forget the money side of it, do you think when the church planner gets over to where he's going, that the devil has a welcome wagon there, and he's there, he's excited, that, hey, thank you for coming to give me a fight, right? No, he's not happy. He's got a welcome wagon, all right. He's got all his demons working against the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember what the Apostle Paul said? If our gospel be hid to the church of Corinth, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? And if it's hid, what happens? He says the devil wants to keep those blinders on. The devil doesn't want the light of the gospel to get to the regions of the world that we can't get to. And he doesn't want the light of the gospel to get to Emmaus, Pennsylvania. So that's why it's important this morning, by the way, to listen to what the Sunday school lesson said. Listen to the word. Man, that encouraged me today. Do you understand what you could do here for God if you would all look at the Great Commission and take the personal approach? Do you realize what we can? Listen, one thing I've noticed, tell me if I'm wrong, and this is no detriment of these men. I have nothing against any of the men that we've heard this week. Paul Burbidge is one of my dearest friends. But did you get the theme of it's cold, it's slow, it's thing, we're not seeing results like we would. One more in 24. Do you know what those men would love? They would love a Chris Gable working with them. They would love a faithful member in their church that doesn't just listen and say amen, but they go out and they talk about the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Do you know what it's like to go to a place and nothing? Nothing. Nobody. No, there's no one to encourage you. You're trying to encourage your wife in a dark country. All countries are dark. You know, it's like to have nothing. Two little children, and Holly was born in Glasgow, and I'm going out knocking doors by myself, taking little Jimmy at 2 years old, 3 years old with me because I wanted a testimony. Do you know what it's like to start with nothing and you have much? Do you know this church started with nothing somewhere and now there's much? Why? Because somebody was willing to go. They were willing to live what they say they believe. I want you to know that's the right thing. But you know what? It's the right thing to partner with you. And I appreciate your church's compassion, your latitude, because I get it. You realize that, hey, it's not easy. Hey, we're not going to. Hey, I didn't see anybody pray. Dear Lord, if they don't get 20 more souls this year, well, just pray we drop them. Amen. I didn't see anybody pray that this week.
Amen.
Why? Because it's a good thing. Can I say it's a show of appreciation? Look at verse 15 and 16 here. Verse 15 and 16. Now, verse 15 and 16. This light was blinking at me. I asked preacher, what is that thing? I shouldn't ask them, amen. All right, verse number 15. Should have kept my mouth shut. I talk too much. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. Go to Acts 16, and then I want to give you this last thought, and we're done. But I want you to look. Why was this personal? Because I believe when we partner with church planters, we started that church, it's not even a church yet, it's a mission. Within 6 months, we had our first missions conference. And those people, this is not what I give. I never include what I give because I give a lot. And just like probably a lot of preachers here do, I would hope, amen. I hope preachers here don't give $10 in missions a month. That would be embarrassing. Right? They promised $860 a month with 25, 30 people.
Amen.
So I said, you know what? Somebody said, hey, preacher, what are we going to do with this money? I said, we're going to go invest it. Amen? And that's why I told Ben Hall, and I'm serious, I said, come. We got money to invest. Amen? We don't even have to pray about where the money's come from. We got the money. Just need to invest it. Why was this why was Philippi, the church of Philippi, why do you think they were so passionate towards the work that God was doing through the Apostle Paul? Well, let me show you why. Look at Acts 16. Let's drop down here for time's sake and notice with me what he says here. Verse 10. You remember he was going to Asia, then to he went to Mysia, and then he was going to go into Bithynia. Spirit suffered him not. And then verse 8, the vision appears in the night. Verse number 9. But notice with me verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into where? That's a region, Macedonia. Jim Mayo's going to Scotland. Amen. That's a country. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to where? Who is the book of Philippians written to? The church at what? Talk to me now. They come to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which what? Worship God. I don't believe she had the Lord as her Savior at this point personally. Heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Look at this. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained him. Do you kind of get the idea that maybe this church, this little assembly, as it began to grow, you think they maybe met in Lydia's house? You say, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm getting at this. You know what the blessing of involving ourselves and partnering with church planters is? It's a show of appreciation. It's real simple. I have no doubt that these people in Philippi, they know Paul. They saw what he did. They didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. They didn't have cell phones. But the word was still getting around. That this Apostle Paul was going, and you know what he was doing? He was doing what he'd done in Philippi. And they wanted that with others. I'm going to show you a scripture in just a moment before we close. Remember what Paul asked the church at Thessalonica to pray for? That the gospel would have free course. That as, in other words, that it would work as it did in you. Do you like going to a church that preaches the Bible?
Amen.
Talk to me. Do you like that? You like this? Your preacher got up and preached the word today? You can't. Anybody that wants to critique his preaching today, you come through me. I'd like to see that. That was the word.
Amen.
Do you like having a preacher preach? Do you like having... You got two preachers that preach the word here, man.
Amen.
Do you like it? The singing? Do you like the beautiful music that they sang today? Talk to me today. Do you like to be able to assemble together? Well, don't you think other cities and other people groups ought to have what you have?
Amen.
That's why Philippi gave. Because they said, hey, we believe in the work of the Lord. We've seen the work of the Lord. And man, Paul, it ain't much, but we're sending you some provision. Whatever your need is, what your affliction you're going through, we're going to partner with you. Why? Because we appreciate what God has done for us.
Amen.
Now, let me say this and we're done. It's an optional relationship. It's optional. Just like faith promise is optional. You say, no, we should all. I'm not a heretic. Hear me out. That man did not get up today, and this man will not get up and say, you have to give $200 a week each. It's optional. Give what the Lord tells you to give. Give it. Brother Ronnie told me before I came, he didn't say I couldn't preach on money. He said he doesn't preach on a lot. I do a lot because I'm a church planner, and I got to teach people, hey, got to pay the bills somehow. Amen. So I preach. It's the word of God. Amen. But even I, the Lord didn't lead me to preach on giving this week. It's optional. You give. If you want to be involved in the investment, you give. But not only is it optional, there's a blessing to the relationship between the church planner and the church. But let me just say this in closing. There's an investment involved in this. And this is where I differ from other church planters, and you'll see what I mean. There's nothing heretical coming. Just bear with me. Look at verse 17 of Philippians chapter 4. I don't believe God calls a New Testament church planter to go sit in the country for 40 years and nothing happen. I don't believe that. I had a preacher one time where he going to verse 17. In fact, he says this in verse 17. He said, not because I desire a what? Gift. I'm not looking for a handout. That's what a gift is. I'm not looking for a freebie, but I desire fruit that will abound to your what? Account. The word gift is present or handout. Fruit is increase. Abound means to do or make or by extension, multiply. Amen. And the word account means work. So in other words, I want fruit that's going to abound to your work. Amen. When I'm out there going to Thessalonica, when I'm out there going to the regions beyond, when I'm in the household of Caesar, amen, and I'm under Roman imprisonment, amen, and people are getting saved, I believe there's a church in Rome because Paul was imprisoned.
Amen.
He said, while I'm doing all that, I want you to know this is not some handout. I had a preacher one time throw me a check. Do it to me. Said, here's your offering, brother. I said, brother, if that's your attitude, you keep it. Because if what I am to you is a welfare, if I'm socialism, as you have heard this week, I'm not a socialist. I said, I am a servant of the Almighty God.
Amen.
If you don't feel that you've invested in the Spirit of God, brought me here to speak, and you don't feel that this is an investment worthy of, keep your money. I don't need it. Amen. Because it's not about a handout. Can I just say in this investment, there's three things in investment. It requires a relationship. It really does. Let me just show you right here in Philippi quick, this verse. Look at Philippians chapter 4 here and look at verse number 3. I entreat thee also, true, what's that word? Yoke fellow. Philippians 4, verse number 3. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And I don't have time, but you go back to Philippians chapter 1 and you'll see that he deals with this idea of fellowship, which means partnership. There, in this relationship, there's an investment. And to have an investment, you have to have a relationship. You need to know the people that you're working with. I'll never forget the Halls coming to Scotland. And I was nervous. I want you to know, I would not because of you, Gina, and not because of Jim. Jim was one of the nicest guys I ever met in my life. I don't think Jim would hurt anybody purposely. Amen. But we were nervous. You know why? Why are they coming? Do you think Brother Hammett? Do you think Brother Doug is? You think he thinks we're doing something wrong? What are they? And Lori's like, would you calm down? I was young. I've grown a lot. But they came over. And you know what? It literally blew my proverbial mind away. Because all you wanted to do was be a blessing to us.
Amen.
That's all you wanted to do.
Amen.
I felt like I knew a little bit more about Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. Because you wanted to be a blessing to us.
Amen.
You have to have a relationship. You have to have responsibility. There's Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at this. We're almost done. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at this, verse 1 and 2. So there's a relationship, but like you see these men, and praise God for the men. I've loved the prayers this week. I don't know, but I'm not a charismatic. Don't get excited. But you can feel the Spirit of God's working in their hearts as they pray. I love that. Amen. So relationship, but there's a responsibility. What is that responsibility? You need to not only financially be faithful, but what about prayer? Look what Paul says. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Chapter 3, verse 1. That the word of the Lord may have free course. You know what you need to pray for your church planters? That the word of the Lord would have free course. That it would not be restrained and be glorified even as it is with you. In other words, do you want to see people get saved as the word of God is preached in this community? Then that's what you ought to pray for your church planters. And look what he says. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You ever run across any of those? For all men have not faith. So go to Acts 14, and then I'm going to sum this up. And so I believe in this investment, and to have a proper investment, you have to have a relationship. You have to have responsibility. Absolutely. They have a responsibility. I'm going to show you that. We have a responsibility as a church planter. You have a responsibility as a church. But I'm going to say something that just nobody really likes today, but it's just biblical truth. There has to be a return. What was your whole basis for that light bulb illustration? Or do you really know a company that we can invest in? What was the whole basis of that? They want you to invest, but you're probably not going to get any return. Is God a returnless investor?
No.
Is there any return on the investment? And I got news for you. I remember in Scotland, this preacher would always come. Awesome guy, Ronnie Waters. Little hunchback South Carolina guy, man. When he preached, man, he looked, he straightened up, and man, he got on fire. And he came over and he'd be like, he'd come to all the fellowships for quite a while. He'd always be encouraging. But then for like 2 years, every time you see him, I'd go hear these preachers preach. I know they're not all like me, but I need preaching. And he'd come and he'd be like, oh, pray for me, man. I've been in Hoyt for 25 years and I've seen three people saved and they all moved away to another city and blah, 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 blah. You know, I said, Ronnie, and I love this fella. I wasn't upset with him. I said, Brother Ronnie, why don't you, you're in the borders. I can name for you five cities. I don't even live there that have no gospel witness. Why don't you go to another city? Why don't you shake the dust off and go to another city? You know, he said to me, oh, brother, I'm like the prophet Jeremiah. I'm called a hoik. Doesn't that sound like a sinus infection thing? Hoik. Amen. I'm called. You're not an Old Testament prophet. You're not called to the nation of Israel. We are New Testament, Bible believing Baptists, amen, that are called to take the gospel to the world and pull for as many churches as he started. He shook the dust off in many cities. But here's what Paul delivered. Now look at this, Acts chapter 14. Boy, do you think Philippi got a return on their investment? Here's what the Bible says about the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 14, we're going to finish with this. You have been so good to me. All right. Acts chapter 14. I'm sorry. Yeah, 14 verse 20. You remember Paul and Barnabas coming to the end of the first journey. They're going back now to Antioch. Not the Antioch they started a church in, but that Antioch they were sent from. Of course, they were part of that church plan, but they're coming back to their sending church. Now, look what he says. By the way, Brother Ben Hall's coming back. How long is he going to be back? 4 weeks? 4 months? Oh, I just said 4 weeks. Man, Gina's quiet. 4 months, right? Right. I don't think I have to tell you. You probably ought to really love on him. Amen?
Amen.
Right? I mean, he's coming back. I don't have time to preach on this one, but go study what they did in Antioch when Paul and Barnabas came back. They jumped right in. The church loved them. Amen? Look at this. But here's, before they get back, here's what happened. You ready? Howbeit, Acts 14, verse number 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the what? What did your preacher show you today you're supposed to be preaching? What are you supposed to be doing? Evangelizing out there. Look at this. This is what the church planter is supposed to do. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. Remember that word taught we learned about today? They returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them what? You believe elders, pastors, and bishops? Same thing, right? In every church, and had prayed with fasting, I love this word. Do you love this word? Commended them to the Lord. You know what that means? They deposited them back to the God that saved them. To the Lord on whom they believe. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd say that's a pretty good guy to partner with. Amen. Oh, I'm so tired of us today talking about how it's hard and it's cold. That woman sitting in that car the other day, I wasn't alone with a woman in a car. I was a sales lady looking at a car. Now, you may think it's unspiritual to look at a Mercedes, but I was having fun. And it was beautiful. And I'm sitting there in that car, and I'm trying to talk to that lady about the Lord, and she's a saleswoman, so I appreciate what you do as a preacher and all that, until we got to where the Bible contradicted what she didn't like abortion. I didn't like abortion. She was for it. So we talked about it, and we were cordial. But you know what? She wasn't exactly jumping through hoops, amen, to hear the gospel. She wanted to sell a car. How would you like to partner with someone? We talked about the coldness, the darkness. It's always been cold and dark. Man is spiritually dead. Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind is enmity, hostile. It hates God. But in the spite of hostility, you said something today, brother, and I thank you for that, because it made my mind go back to a place where I got saved. I appreciate that. We need to remember that.
Amen.
I was involved in a bunch of spiritism and nasty stuff. My mama got saved. We left the Catholic Church. My dad got saved. We went to the Baptist Church. And for 3 years, I heard the gospel. 3 years. I didn't like what I heard. And I fought and I was rebellious. But God didn't give up on me. And the Spirit of God at 13 years old brought me to repentance and faith, and I put my faith and trust in Christ.
Amen.
How do you get any more spiritual dark than spiritism? But yeah, God saved me out of that. God can save 60% of the people in Scotland that were members of the church that got saved, baptized, and members were either witches or spiritists. How does God do that? Because this is powerful.
Amen.
And so you know what you ought to expect of your church planner? A church. That's what you ought to expect. If it's not working in whatever place in Italy, and that man says, hey, I've tried, I preach the gospel there, we're going to move 60 miles here, we have an open door. Now, I'm not talking about a circuit riding vacation evangelist, amen? But you preach the gospel enough, people are going to get saved. And as people get saved, you're going to have disciples, and you got to make disciples. And as those disciples are made, guess what happens? A little assembly forms.
Amen.
Paul said multiple times, greet the church that is in thy house. I looked up houses back then. That kind of fascinated me. Those churches weren't more than 40, 50, 60 people max. And yet today we think we have to have a church of hundreds and a building. What is an assembly? The truth is, you and I are in a partnership. And you have a right to expect a return on your investment. Amen? So what you give today financially, what you pray and how you pray, it's a partnership. Optional, it's a blessing, and trust me, it is an investment. Amen? Preacher, you